The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Prep to Pro NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Ben Pfeiffer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Max Carlin. Max, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, Ben. How are you?
I am doing well. Excited to get part two of this episode underway, talking about our preseason board, where we were wrong, where we were right, how our conceptions of these prospects have changed. So let's get back into it.
The wait is finally over. Football's in full effect. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, before we get started, another reminder that we are going to be doing a live broadcast Prep to Pro during the NBA draft. Mark your calendars, get ready, should be a fun time. We'll answer questions. We'll hopefully offer more informed analysis than the typical televised draft show. If you can't be there live, we will
less fun comps, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we'll help people out with that at some point soon. There's another little teaser. But yes, it'll be hopefully a fun interactive experience. If you can't be there live, we'll record it and post it as a pod. So don't worry about that. If you're not going to be available during the draft, we will have you covered.
All right, so let's hop into part two of revisiting our preseason boards. We ended last episode on a not so fun note. We're gonna start this episode on a very fun note with Devin Vassell, who I think I was like really high on relative to like his perception. I had him like mid-30s. Where did you have him?
I also had him in mid-30s. Yeah, we did an entire episode basically of eating crow, and now we get to say that we love Devin Vassell because he's
exactly. I mean, I don't think any of us kind of envisioned this rise. I mean, he's risen from mid-30s to top three for me. Never in a million years would I have expected that. I mean, like my first impression of Vassell last year, actually, I was looking back, like my actual first impression was he hit a game winner in the ACC tournament against Virginia Tech. And I clipped it. I'm like, who is this guy? I've never heard of him before. Interesting, cool shot. And then turns out he's actually like a really kind of cool prospect. I'm like, you know what, this guy's gonna be a cool 3-and-D wing. And then he comes out in the first game and makes 6 pull-up mid-ranges, and we're like, yo.
Yeah, they were pull-up threes.
Were they really?
They weren't all pull-up threes, but
oh yeah, I think one or two was, right?
Yeah, there were a few. Yeah, I think he hit one pull-up jumper in his freshman year, and then that game against Pittsburgh in the opener. Xavier Johnson disappointed, but Devin Vassell did not.
Yeah. So that's really the main thing where my conception has changed. And I mean, everyone who isn't the future tellers did, where all of a sudden he is like a legitimate pull up, difficult shot making prospect. Like he was genuinely good at pull up twos this year on pretty solid volume historically, especially considering the shortened season, where I think there's some real like upside for difficult shot making, which is why I'm high on him as I am. I do think the upside consistently is underrated with him. Along with, you know, that pull-up shot making, unlocking some of the passing, which I do think is underrated as well. The passing is limited by his burst and strength at this level, and, you know, will be at the NBA level without the shot making. But I think there's definitely some vision and some functionality there, at least more than the genuine perception. And then, you know, the other thing is just the degree of team defensive goodness. I mean, before the season, I thought he was like a pretty high level wing team defender. Did not realize that he was like this level of team defender, this special. Like to where he's, you know, probably one of the best perimeter team defense prospects in quite a while. So yeah, I mean, Vassell is just like the offense just totally changing the perception of his game, and then, you know, putting his team defense on full display. Definitely, you know, I don't think it was at all a misevaluation, because there just wasn't anything to misevaluate. But just,
no, if you thought Devin Vassell was a top 5 to 10 prospect coming to the year, you were crazy. Yeah. If you thought he was a top 35 prospect, you were
probably looked at as crazy by quite a few people.
But you were right. But yeah, I'm totally with you. I thought he was an incredible defensive player who could maybe hit spot ups, maybe not really, who knows. But yeah, incredible defensive wing, special team defender with unbelievable instincts and unbelievable ground coverage, which I think are like the two most important things in a defensive playmaker. Did not see the crazy pull-up shooting coming. Did not see like a pull-up volume and effectiveness that was rivaling like college Chris Middleton and stuff like that. That was
more college Kawhi and like Siakam, really. Like,
yeah, it was not something that I expected.
And college Tatum.
Well, I have not looked at him in comparison to college Tatum. I think I have looked at the Middleton and Butler numbers.
I've looked at the Tatum numbers, and he wasn't as good as like a difficult shot maker and pull-up shooter, but the volume is similar. Like, and he wasn't as good as a free throw shooter. You know, worse shot making prospect, but like the broadly similar stylistically in that way.
Yeah, I think that the tail end outcomes are definitely there for Vassell, because I too like his vision. Think the difficult shot making upside is definitely there. I think I'm lower on his median offensively. I think he's like a spot up guy and a 1-2 dribble, 1-2 dribble pull up guy. His burst and strength are really bad. Like, he gets walled off all the time. Like, he's not going to get to the rim, and I don't really think he could finish once he's there. Like, not going to be a big free throw rate guy. So I think that he's more of a spot up and hitting 1-2 dribble pull ups, and then will make pretty good decisions attacking closeouts. But, you know, that's not a great offensive player. I'm envisioning his value really coming on the defensive end, but a ton of value on that end. Like, so yeah, I would say like
value on that end. Like,
what was that?
Game changing value.
Yeah. You know, truly. So yeah, with Vassell, I mean, I think we were kind of spot on that special defensive player. I think that the pull-up shooting really kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he was a very under the radar player because he just was not a big time recruit.
I mean, his usage was super low. I think
he wasn't a big minutes player. I mean, he was intensely draft Twitter in that he was, you know, this skinny wing who was a brilliant team defender who didn't play very much and didn't score. So I would assume he wasn't even on mainstream radars, really.
No, I don't think so.
So we were kind of ready for it when he comes out against Pittsburgh and it's like, what on earth is this fire breathing monster? We were like, yeah, Devin Vassell, this guy was already kind of a stud.
Just not, you know, the kind of stud we thought he is.
Yeah. The I don't think there was any way to see the offense coming. I don't know that I found a person that was like, intimately familiar with Vassell as a high school player.
I mean, he was a 2-star recruit? Or like,
yeah, he was not a big time recruit. So maybe this off the dribble game was there more than, if there are people who are familiar with Devin Vassell as a high school player, let us know. I'd be curious to know if this is sort of a play style and skill set that's reemerging from him as opposed to newfound. But yeah, I care kind of less about the tail end outcomes. I price them in, but I'm really just interested in a special team defender on the wing.
3-star with offers besides FSU from Furman, Indiana State, North Florida, and Stetson. Like,
yeah, man.
Good for Florida State.
Yeah, dude, they're very good at recruiting. They
recruitment and development, all of that.
Yeah. Okay. Should we move on to?
Can't spend on Vassell. I mean, we could, but
Onyeka Okongwu now.
Yeah, let's talk about Onyeka, who I had higher than you. I had him like early 20s.
Yeah, I think I had him early 40s.
But either way, very quickly rose into that top conversation after being kind of obviously very, very good right out of the gate for USC. Like, I'm pretty sure like early in the season, he was great.
Give some background on sort of how he was perceived, draft Twitter, mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, Onyeka, just this like pretty athletic center, moves well, pretty solid as a rim protector. And then offensively, you know, some flashes of passing. I think that the pick and roll finishing was pretty good, some post stuff. I think all of it was just kind of amplified at USC.
Yeah, but I think he was also kind of overshadowed no matter where he played. Like AAU, he played with the Mobleys, and then he played at Chino Hills. Yeah, he played at Chino Hills, and so people kind of knew him from playing with the Ball Brothers his freshman year. It was when he played with all of them. But you know, he was not All-American, correct?
I don't think so. I mean, he was just never really considered as seriously as the other guys he played with.
Yeah, like no involvement in Team USA. I think not an All-American. Like he was just not on like these All-Star circuits. He was not, well regarded.
And then he goes out and puts up 20 and 10 in his first two college games, and then 33 in his fifth. And all of a sudden, people are like, whoa, this Onyeka Okongwu guy is legit. I think it was established pretty quickly that he was legit. Definitely did not realize how good of just a defensive mover he is in guarding the pick and roll. Off, but like we said, coverage versatility is the name of the game for him. Did not realize just how good he was there. And then, I mean, I think the offense, just the degrees of which the things he was good at, like a better finisher than I thought, a better roller than I thought, especially as the season went on, a better passer than I thought. There's like a totally different level big man, I think, than most people expected, like even those who were the highest on him.
Yeah, shout out to Ross Homan, who had him 16th above James Wiseman, Oscar Tshiebwe. I think is his top ranked center.
Good call. Even then, like I said, even Ross, who probably was the highest out of anybody, only had him as a out of lottery guy.
Yeah. For me, Onyeka has made large improvements as a passer, and that sustained through college. Like he got better as the season went on for sure. His best passing game ever was his final game of college against UCLA. I thought some of his post passing in high school and AAU was interesting, but he was a slow processor for sure. Still has issues there. Like it's not super, super quick, but has made strides.
Improved. Especially, like the last game of the season, like the UCLA game towards the end of the season, especially like.
Yeah. I for sure had size concerns with him, and I still do to an extent. I think that could be a bit of a ceiling limiter for him, just really being a dominant finisher on the interior. I worry about the non-dunk finishing given his size. A little bit about his having top end interior D impact, with his size. But I'm not that concerned about it. I don't think I appreciated how uniquely good of a vertical athlete he is in his quickness off the ground, his versatility, is just the fact that he doesn't need any load, that he can doesn't need to set his feet properly, that he can just jump and he can get up quickly no matter what. I think probably underrated his mobility. Like we've said, not Bam. He doesn't move like that. He's not even he's not a full-time switch guy, but it's
unfair to compare anybody to that. I mean,
yeah, he's mobile. Once he calms down some handsiness, he'll be a good hedge guy, late switch guy. Not a switch everything guy, but coverage versatile, maneuvers space incredibly well, very quick off the ground, versatile jumper, not versatile jump shot, like versatile jumper, can jump out of a back pedal, can explode while rolling to the rim. Will be a very good pick and roll player on both ends. Maybe a little bit of face up scoring.
Just a safe bet to be a valuable big man and a valuable NBA player.
I'm curious to go back and rewatch some Onyeka, because evidently there were reasons to believe, because Ross is very smart and saw that and was was telling everyone he was definitely going to bat for Onyeka. I think that he was not a guy I think who was given enough of a chance given his lack of accolades coming into the year.
Yeah. All right, so our next guy is Patrick Williams, who I didn't really know much about. I think I ranked him like bottom top 60 or a little out after like a game or two in clips. I know you saw more of him pre-college than I did. So
not that much more, honestly. Yeah, I had him in like the 40s or 50s. I thought the appeal was kind of he's very large, very young, and not actively bad. Turns out, in fact, he's very good. Probably at the time didn't give him enough credit for some of his tough shot making, that he has some pull up ability. But yeah, I just didn't appreciate that he's a really interesting defensive prospect, that he has very good instincts, and that his interior help defense is really fantastic, that he's got great verticality, really strong second jump ability, just a really skilled rim protector, frankly. And I think that's kind of where the bulk of his value comes from. Yeah, I think that it was instructive in that, like, finding guys that young and that size who are not actively bad is actually kind of hard. There aren't human beings that large. There just aren't that many of them. And to, you know, to be kind of a blank slate is actually a positive. He's someone I want to go back and sort of revisit him and see if I just didn't give him enough credit for actually being interesting. But yeah, I like Patrick Williams a lot as a defensive prospect, as a spot up closeout attack, make good decisions off closeouts, get to the rim with his ability to cover ground easily. Maybe I also like some like small ball five type things with him, because I do think that he's explosive vertically, could actually have some utility on the roll. And has nice passing there as well.
Yeah, I think the main thing I overlooked was, like, again, like looking back, like, I just didn't really think much of like the pull up shooting a little bit. I should have thought more of it. You know, again, just like even going back to like 16, 17 year old Patrick Williams at 6'8", being comfortable with tough shots off the dribble. Like, I definitely think I took that for granted. I just don't remember him being that special on defense. Definitely not like some of the very rare and special passing he flashed at Florida State. I didn't even think about. I just like wasn't really on my radar as a guy who was too super legit until he comes out at Florida State. And is this awesome rim protector with some plenty versatile offensive skill, the pull up shooting, some really impressive passing, some interior play as more of a big man. Just all of that is super impressive. Yeah, just came out of nowhere for me. Again, like, wasn't a guy I really had much knowledge on. His tape was kind of hard to find before college, but yeah, I mean, from that to pretty clear lotto prospects. Another FSU big riser, big shocker.
Yeah, I did flip on Pat Woe really quickly. Like, pretty much as soon as I saw him at FSU, I was like, whoa, this guy is legit. So I corrected my mistake quickly, I think, but yeah, definitely did not give him enough credit preseason.
Yeah.
Next we've got, now we've got guys that we didn't miss on that we were right about. So Isaac Okoro by RSCI was like outside the top 30. I had him fourth coming. Yeah. He was like not really.
Also had him fourth coming.
Not really on mainstream radars that seriously. We both had him fourth. Draft Twitter consensus was pretty high on him. I would say consensus top 10 guy for Draft Twitter at the very least. A little bit different of a prospect now than I thought he was then. I thought coming into the year that he was an all-time defensive prospect instead of just a great one and like an all defense prospect for sure. But I really thought he was like could be an all time defender. And I think that his team defense maybe disappointed a little bit, that he just wasn't that crazy of a playmaker. And I think that definitely like that could have been anticipated. And I think some people did express concerns about lack of length on the interior, that shows up. And it's, I don't think it's that much of a problem because of his strength and vertical athleticism. But I think people were on point when they suggested that was a little bit of a concern as a sort of ceiling limiter. But I'm higher on him as an offensive player, I think, just because he's improved a ton as a handler. Like, I don't know if you've gone back and watched some of the clips of him handling at McEachern.
I mean, I haven't gone back, but I remember it being bad.
Like, yeah, so I've watched back some of my clips from there, and he was, like, the most mechanical handler with zero shake whatsoever. And now he's, like, he's got some, like, legit dribble moves. Like, he can actually kind of break guys down to go with getting even stronger. He's lost some of his crazy vertical athleticism, still a great vertical athlete with incredible balance, great finisher, just like a really great slashing prospect. And I didn't really think that he could dribble enough to be a great slashing prospect. So I've risen on him offensively. I really liked his passing. I think that's gotten even better and more functional with the handle improvement.
Yeah.
But yeah, risen on him offensively, cooled a little defensively, but I still have him top five. So he's really sustained for me. I think that he was a really good prospect and still is.
Yeah, the defense, I mean, again, like less like Vassell. You know, Vassell is kind of, you know, Vassell being the team defense guy, less like that than maybe we thought. Yeah, just much better. Again, like almost thought of him as more like a complimentary big type offensively. You know, he did some of that at McEachern with this, like he had some really good short roll decision making. Even like some lob finishing. I do think that's still like in the cards for Isaac Okoro as part of his role, but definitely underestimated his on-ball ability. I mean, I don't think underestimated. I just think he genuinely improved. So yeah, like my conception of him like years has changed, even if my ranking of him is like almost exactly the same or, you know, within one or two spots. As it was, you know, there's still Okoro skeptics on, you know, draft Twitter and then the mainstream. Mainstream I think is pretty in on Okoro, but yeah, Okoro's awesome. Was a good call.
I will say I get Okoro skepticism for sure. Like yeah. I think it's reasonable. Yeah, to think that like the creation equity is not there, I think is a reasonable take.
Especially obviously, a great shot doesn't improve at all. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I've said my piece on why I think that Okoro has creation ability even absent a shot, but yeah, I get disagreeing with that. I think it's a reasonable standpoint. But great another, defensive prospect.
Yeah, another great Mike Gribanoff call. He was in on Okoro like way yeah. early, mm-hmm. way early. Yeah, like this guy is great.
Yeah, Okoro, he was very obviously like a serious prospect. I will say.
Yeah,
and to think that he was like. Universally ranked behind Scottie Lewis and Khalil Whitney and just these guys who were wings, like not as athletic as him functionally or like even like purely just vertical athleticism. Like Okoro was pretty nuts in high school and is still really good. Like to think that those guys who were not as talented yeah. as athletic as Okoro.
Here. I'm going to read you some guys above Okoro, the guys immediately above Okoro. Okoro finished RSCI 36 above him, Boogie Ellis, Rocket Watts, Johnny Juzang, Cassius Stanley, Jamias Ramsey. Those are the guys immediately ahead of him. Friend of the program, DJ Carton. And then like, you know, getting into the top guys, but, and then like Keon Brooks and Armando Bakit, like Samuel Williamson, Trenton Watford, keep going up the board. And then of course, like Whitney and Lewis and Stewart and Carey at the top. But yeah, there's like the guys immediately ahead of him. It's funny that like late 30s RSCI had Okoro, Zeke Nnaji and LaMelo. And then like yeah. a little later, like Watson and Weems, like.
Yeah. Okoro, I think was very obviously a serious prospect. You know, I don't think there was a guarantee that he was going to wind up as a top five guy. And honestly, I think ranking him top five in the preseason might have been overambitious given expectations of him offensively.
It was a good call, though.
It was a good call. Well, it was a good call, but I think the fact that yeah, like looking back on it, it was just that I thought that yeah, he was a one of a kind.
I was going to say, and also given my like conceptions of the class, like it made sense too, like.
Yeah. I just think that like it was for me, it was so based on the fact that I thought he was like a one of a kind defensive player. And I really did not think a lot of his offense. I think it's worked out well that his offense, that he made huge strides as a handler and that I do believe in him so much as a slashing prospect now. But had that not happened, that rank would have been really overambitious, because I think that his defense is not as unbelievable as I thought. But nonetheless, still a good call.
Yeah. Next, another one that we'll take our victory lap on is Tyrese Maxey.
I don't know that this should be a victory lap so much as our opinions haven't changed.
Oh yeah, I suppose. I guess because he's still considered pretty lowly in terms of consensus. Yeah, I guess like victory lap in terms of being consistent.
I mean, Maxey, I kind of thought of him what I do now. I had him fifth. I think I have him fourth or fifth now. Really, really good complimentary guard. Buy him a lot as a three-level scorer. I think that the huge difference between us and mainstream sources who have kind of, I think, viewed him as a like mid to late lottery guy coming into the year and now as a mid-teens, 20s guy, is that they're low on his shot, which I don't think makes a ton of sense. Like, there are mechanical issues there. He needs to just raise every aspect of it, needs to add arc. But like, his balance is great, his touch is great, his like, his elbows aligned, there aren't too many issues with his shot. Like, I think it's relatively fixable and we believe in it long term. I think that it's just a lack of appreciation for the fact that historically Maxey has been not just like an adequate shooter, a really, really good one, like pretty prolific with legit versatility. And then just buying him a lot as a guard scorer, as a guy with like uniquely good touch and refined runner game, who has, I think, plus burst and then like elite strength, like contortion and flexibility, touch, ambidexterity, strength. He is a strength-based guard finisher who's actually, plus strength for a guard.
Also plus burst as well, like.
Yeah. And then buying him a lot as a defensive player, sound team defender, very, very good on-ball defender with, I think, some versatility that we didn't really see at Kentucky.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was as good of a finisher as I think he is now at that point. I had him, I noted the floater, and that was always a thing that was obviously great. I didn't realize that he was this incredible finisher. Yes, the finishing numbers themselves aren't spectacular, but I think it's pretty obvious based on the tape and all he has that he's projects as a pretty high level guard finisher. Yeah, I definitely didn't expect that. Expected the shooting to be a lot better, but taking into account the very different Kentucky context than anything he's seen before, and all of the positive indicators, not particularly concerned about that. Yeah, I mean, defensively and then defensively, like, stocks were low, but I think definitely a better team defender than the numbers and pretty on par with what I expected.
He's really sound as a team defender.
Yeah, I mean, like, not as flashy and not as many plays as I thought maybe, but the play-to-play little stuff is great.
Yeah, and I think that there are, like, actual value adds with him. Like, I think that he's, like, very, very good with stunts and digs. It's not just, like, doing the bare minimum. Like, I think that he actually does exert his impact, like, on the defensive end a lot more than you see in the stock numbers.
Yeah, I'm just a big fan.
Yeah, he's really good. I think that, like, there were people who I think were kind of buying Maxey as...
top three-ish?
As a guy who had like real lead guard equity, and I think that was really over ambitious, because I was really low on his pick and roll ability coming to the year. Like, he was not a good pick and roll passer. He just really did not have a feel for pick and roll in high school or AAU, and still like very clearly doesn't. So I don't think that he's that kind of player. I don't think it was ever really fair to expect that of him. But as like a three level scoring off guard with like really consistent plus defensive ability, he's just a really solid prospect. I'd be very surprised if he's not good. Like, he's good at basketball.
This is another one of the guys who I've just really who I have a lot of confidence in being a good NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
At least relative to the other guys in this class.
Yeah, and we have one more guy, a favorite of the podcast, who's finally seems to have his stock catching up a little bit to the caliber of prospect he is. This is a guy who came into the year ranked 22 for me and is currently ranked 22. I think very similar for you.
Ranked, I think 25 is like 19-ish now for me.
Yeah, so our opinions have not really changed at all. I think in the mainstream was like not really regarded as a prospect, has been pretty popular among draft Twitter. We're talking about Isaiah Joe, the one and only.
Discount dev.
Isaiah Joe, overambitious, but great team defender, really, really good instincts, really physical, despite his lack of strength, uses his length well. Just a smart and opportunistic guy there. I think adds a ton of value there. I like him a lot as an on-ball defender. I think that his lateral movement is good and his footwork is really good. Strength will be a very big limiter for him there. And that's kind of like the through line through everything in his game. That's a question mark, is that strength. You know, will he have the shooting percentages? You know, will he add the core strength that he needs? Will he ever get to the rim in his entire life? Like, I don't think his burst is necessarily that bad. He just, you know, take one bump and he's offline. He's not getting to the rim. He never gets to the rim. But has some real like off the dribble ability, good space creator for his own jumpers, has some ability to, like, you know, he loves throwing pocket passes out of pick and roll. Great versatile shooter. Just a very, very good two-way player.
Yeah. Like I said, Isaiah Joe, I think pretty par with my expectation. Yes, like the raw 3-point percentage was lower than many expected. Again, don't think that's a huge issue for, you know, reasons such as his volume and the versatility and difficult shots he took and the inherent, you know, fluctuation of 3-point percentage on a smallish sample of attempts. Yes, Isaiah Joe took a lot of threes, but even that's far from a stable sample. So yeah, I mean, probably like a little better on ball than I expected. Like, there is legitimately some like space creation with his step backs, has the pocket pass. So yeah, I mean, I really like his upside, given he puts on strength, because he's just a really, really freaking good prospect on both ends. Yeah, I mean, somebody both of us were rightfully high on, and someone who I think is definitely going to be a good value in this class wherever he ends up.
For sure, yeah. Isaiah Joe, really good. Should go in the first round. Kind of is creeping into consideration there, it seems, but still more of a second-round guy. But we're thrilled that he put his name back into this draft and offers another option on the wing, because there are kind of after Vassell and Okoro, it kind of falls off there.
Yep. I think that's all of the players we had to talk about for a main topic.
Yeah, I think so.
Listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Take a look in the mirror and I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of those holes. It's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice as your clean-shaven pubes. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Its intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code armchair. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. The wait is finally over. Football's in full effect. With many teams strutting their stuff, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
All right, so we're going to move on to Catching Eye. Max, what are you talking about today?
I have Andre Jackson, who you and PD have talked about a lot in the past. Yeah, I think it's like very conceivable that he's not a one and done. He can't shoot. He will shoot, which is good. But yeah, like awful three motion, hideous jumper that doesn't go in. But I think it's very easy to see how he evolves into a really high level prospect at the same time. He is wildly explosive and has some real passing ability. Like, I don't think that he's an elite wing passer by any means, but he's a good one for sure and has actual like functionality off a live dribble. I think some ambidexterity. Does have a flair to him that's not necessarily always productive, but it's definitely entertaining.
Certainly entertaining. I just like how ambitious he is with it too.
He's very ambitious. It's not always good, but he's very ambitious.
I mean, I'll take him being ambitious and not always good than conservative.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But what's really interesting to me is that if his strength watch thing is real, that he's actually huge now. He has a lot of intrigue to me as a like power wing. Like, I think that he could be a really good slasher. Like, his handle is pretty damn good for a wing, especially for a guy that age. Like, he has some really impressive flashes there. Like, he can actually navigate his way to the rim. And if it's
down with a couple dribble combos, like,
yeah. And if it's to a point where, you know, he breaks down that first guy and help slides over and he's dropping a shoulder into a guy, and instead of himself being thrown back 15 feet, if he can just rise up balanced and like shoot a floater and also draw a foul, you're talking about a pretty interesting power wing prospect. And then on top of that, he's a guy who has made huge strides in his willingness and versatility as a shooter recently. That just in AAU, he attempted at something like 0.75 threes a game.
He refused to shoot in AAU.
Yeah, it was under 1 3 a game in AAU. And I've watched a couple of these Albany High School or something like that games. And yeah, he is like launching them. He's probably taking like five or so a game. They don't really go in, but he like will shoot off movement and shoot off the dribble.
AAU stats has him at 8'2" for 18.
Those numbers are kind of wonky because they have some double counted games, but
just like missing games too, but
yeah, it's in the vicinity of one a game. It's not a lot. And now he's actually taking them. Yeah, so he's pretty interesting. If he's really like strong now, I'm very interested. The shot's a huge limiter.
We talked about earlier about, I think last episode, about hedging high with, you know, guys that who show the special. Mm-hmm. Certainly doing that with Andre Jackson preseason here. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, certainly. I mean, despite my optimism with him, could absolutely envision a world where he flames out and is, you know, a multi-year prospect and just isn't, you know, isn't the passing isn't functional. He's the strength, you know, isn't as real as we think. The shot is a total train wreck.
At the same time, I would not be at all surprised if he is like a lottery lock.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. The passing is functional and he's putting slashes together, and maybe, you know, the shot, even if it's baby steps, like, anything's kind of better than where it was a couple summers ago.
So he's kind of a no-brainer to me, interesting guy. Now, you could be on the skeptical side and say that he's like, there's no way he's a one and done and I'm not going to rank him, but I think I'm going to have him as a first entering the year, just on account of the fact that, like, yeah, if he, like, forget about the shot, if he's just like really, really strong now, as is claimed to be the case, then he's a very interesting slashing prospect.
And that's not even to talk about his defense, which I think is pretty good at this point. I mean, he tries hard.
Good. Yeah, I think it's good.
I mean, like, his instincts are, you know, good and not special, but like the tools are ridiculous. Like, and just the motor, like the motor is so high. Like, he plays so hard all the time.
Yeah, he's really interesting.
Yeah, he's awesome. And UConn is going to be really awesome next year.
Yeah, they have a cool, like, sort of wingy handler tandem there. And their fringe, I like their fringe guys. Like Akok, Polly. Yeah.
Is Polly going to play?
I don't know. I think I saw that Akok is going to.
Yeah. I don't know if Polly's going to play.
I haven't seen anything on Polly.
Yeah, but Book Knight and Jackson are two, like, very legitimate prospects.
Should like a kind of like quietly stacked team from a draft perspective.
Yeah, they're gonna be one of my favorite teams to watch next year, no doubt.
Yeah, it should be fun.
All right, So what I talked about last week, or like earlier this week at some point, we had live high school basketball. I talked about preview this, like, I think a couple episodes ago, the Geico Flight International something tournament. Geico Flight Top Flight Invite, I think is what it was called, actually. With some top prospects in throughout a couple high school classes, you had Chet Holmgren play, the current number one RSCI guy in the high school class of 21. Jaden Hardy, another top 21 prospect. Musa Diabate, another top 21 prospect. And then you had Mikey Williams, another younger top prospect with tons of buzz around his name. I just wanted to talk about a couple of these guys. I guess I'll talk about Chet's performance just because we've done the Chet thing on this podcast quite a bit already. The same old with Chet in terms of his play and his perception. The rim protection, just unbelievable, out of this world, in transition, making some stupid plays. I think the game I saw, I didn't see much. I didn't see like the whole tournament, but I saw him play against Mikey Williams' team, and it really was like kind of comical. Just how good of a rim protector he was. Just nothing got over him. There were like no fouls at all. Like just stuffed everything. Offensively, like I think he hit a pull up three, but besides from that, he was pretty average. Like did some finishes just by being big, bigger than the other team, and a couple like bad drives and decisions. But again, like still conceived, like you can see on the broadcast and by people, you know, analyzing and watching, he's perceived as like a real handler and a creator by some people. And I think the rim protection, as like blatantly obvious as it is, like he had a freaking triple double with blocks, like it's, which he kind of does like pretty often. It's pretty obviously incredible and still underappreciated. And then the next top prospect, is Jaden Hardy out of Nevada.
Oh wait, can I?
Oh yeah, go.
Can I say something about Chet quickly?
Yeah, go.
Or it's more of a question. I guess I have questions and also statements on Chet. Did he look strengthened
no.
at all? No,
well, that's not really. A shame. Yeah, I think,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, nah, not notably.
Yeah, if
maybe like a tiny bit more like muscular visually, but like I don't think it was functional or actually made a difference. Like,
yeah, I'm so curious to see how his rim protection translates up to the NCAA level. Because if it even sustains like a 90% of it, if he sustains 90% of his impact as a rim protector, he is a great prospect. What a special rim protector he is from his recognition. He like the most recent time. Because I was watching Suggs fairly recently and watched, obviously saw Chet. He had this one where he had like unreal recognition. Got there from like about the elbow on a blow by from the corner, went up like completely took away the layup. Guy goes up for a reverse. Chet contorts and blocks it on the other side of the basket. What a ridiculously special rim protector he is.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I just so hope that it sustains, or that he can just get a little stronger. Like we've seen it mitigated to some extent. When guys really get into his chest, he's crazy long, so he can kind of still disrupt shots in those cases. But yeah, I so hope that it sustains because he's just a crazy awesome rim protector.
So the next top prospect, I think the only other real top prospect, unless I'm forgetting someone, I mean, besides like Mikey Williams, who I'm not going to talk about just because I didn't really see much from him and I just don't know enough to speak confidently, is Jaden Hardy. One of the top guys, top recruits in the 2021 high school class. He is like a 6'4", 6'5", like really athletic, 1-2 type, who's like lauded for his difficult shot making, and some of the athletic stuff. I'm not really a fan of his, to be frank. Like, yes, there are some ridiculously difficult shots he makes, like beyond NBA range pull-ups and tough contested step backs, and there's some legit space creation for dribbles, but the decision making for him is just atrocious. He will routinely take awful shots early in the shot clock. It's really, really bad. He, despite being like a pretty powerful athlete, he just doesn't get to the rim very often. the team he played, it was like the IMG team, like national spotlight, like the team called the IMG guys, just like threw pressure at him like crazy and he just couldn't handle it. He made like one or two decent passes against the pressure, but it was turnovers and bad shots. I don't like Jaden Hardy. He's kind of like the Ant Edwards, Jalen Green archetype of that class to me, but worse. Like, he's not as good as Ant or Jalen Green as a prospect. He's not very good, I think. I know people like him. People who like him more seem to like his passing more. So I went back and watched a little more, and the passing is better than he showed at that. There are some like legitimately pretty good passes where like defenses in high school really like respect his gravity and throw a lot of help at him, and he's pretty adept at times at, you know, taking advantage of that help for some pretty stellar passes, if we're being honest. But that's just not consistent at all. Not really any pick and roll game with him to me, or at least not anything consistently. And defensively, just kind of bleh, like some rim contests, but mostly apathetic. I'm not a big Jaden Hardy fan. I know you haven't seen anything, but or much.
Well, I saw the compilations of him hitting crazy shots.
Yeah.
This weekend, and I DM'd you and PD and just said heuristic intensifies, because they were all impossible shots, and yeah, he was making them.
That's kind of what he does. Like,
but yeah. I have not seen him play full games, but I have done the brief highlight scouting and been fairly concerned by the quality of the shots I was seeing there.
Yeah. And then, to end on a positive note, his teammate, Frankie Collins, who is committed to Michigan, was really, really impressive. I had never heard of Frankie Collins before this tournament. Double checking. Yeah, I've never heard of him. Plays in Nevada as well, 4-star going to Michigan, 6'6", 6'1" point guard. Just the things that popped to me are the burst was really, really good, super, super quick getting downhill into his drives. And then some like legit live dribble passing with both hands, showed some manipulation, like getting in the air, moving defenders and hitting passes. The quickness really took advantage of his quickness to hit some laydowns, some sharp change of direction as well. Probably like more of like a good college guard than a real prospect, because he's again really small, had a lot of trouble scoring. The shot didn't seem particularly special. Like he took some pull-ups, he was willing to take pull-ups but didn't make any, and the shot didn't look particularly special or anything. But yeah, I mean, just like a really fun prospect. I posted some clips of him on my Twitter of him, you know, being bursty and a really fun passer. Somebody I'm gonna monitor going forward, but probably not, you know, anyone super serious, at least for the moment.
Yeah, never heard of him before in my life.
Yeah, I was just like, who is this guy who's making passes? Yeah, I had never heard of him before this game.
I don't know. If we want to extend this at all, I can pull out random names. But like, because we've only gone like 45 minutes. I guess that's actually a normal length podcast. have you seen with Caleb Love, Larry Hughes II?
I haven't focused on him at all.
I mean, he just like kind of pops as a guy who's like a pretty good all around guard, like combo guardy guy. I don't know. He's like probably a good college player.
Yeah. Getting very, very back to the roots of catching eye here.
Yeah, we are. I don't know. We've got to give the people the content. any other draft things you want to discuss?
For this year's draft, I was kind of saving a catching eye thing for next week, but I'll do it, I guess, here because we have time. I've been watching a lot of the preparing in my preparation for the 21 season, watching a lot of the NBA Global Academy prospects, who a lot of them will play in the NBL. So the two big ones being Josh Gaudet and Mojave King, and with a couple fringy ones that I'll get to later. I guess I'll mention those guys because we have time and might as well. Gaudet, I think, is the biggest name. He is like the leader MVP of that Global Academy team. At that level, certainly dominant. 6'8" and one of the best prospect passers in the world at that size, no doubt. Live dribble, both hands, incredible vision, manipulation. Unbelievably ambitious as a passer. If one of his teammates is open, he will find him. Just an incredibly high level passer at this level. And then, you know, offensively has nice touch. Is again like relies on being really big to score, and that works at his level. Really nice touch, really great touch, and has a little bit of slash and craft and some strength. But then defensively, he's very, very smart, makes some great rotations, has like incredibly quick and well placed hands on steals and rips. But I don't really like him as much as a lot of people do, because he reminds me a lot of Halliburton. He's like imagine if Halliburton was 6'8" and couldn't shoot.
that doesn't sound that good.
No, that's why I have him. I posted like a 21 board the other day. I had him like mid late 40s, and I got a little.
How much weaker is he than Denny?
Weaker. He's definitely not as weak as Halley. But he's not like rail thin, but he's not built. I think he could definitely add muscle, and he's a better slasher than Halley, but he just has no burst, no like the handling. So like in transition, there's some deception with his change of pace, but the burst in like isolated situations is so concerning. Like he can't get by anybody. The shot is this like ugly, slow 2-3 motion shot.
How is he otherwise off the ball?
Oh, he's a smart cutter. He's a pretty smart cutter. And again, like the off-ball passing is brilliant, but he almost entirely operated on the ball with that team.
Okay.
So yeah, I he's incredibly fun. He's one of my favorite guys to watch, but I just don't like him as much as a prospect because I'm really worried about the translation up to the NBA level where the shot has to improve a ton. I've seen some numbers. I was looking for them before the show, but I couldn't find them. They were kind of not very good. But yeah. Gaudet is like really, really fun. Again, playing in the NBL next season as one of like their next stars, like LaMelo and RJ Hampton were. He's gonna be playing
for Adelaide.
Yeah. Adelaide. So he'll probably be pretty good, I think. I'm excited to see him in the NBL. But yeah, not someone I think definitely a real prospect and someone who like is worth ranking and worth considering, but not someone I'm super high on. The prospect who I am really high on is Mojave King, who I think is like a legit first round prospect, as like a 3D+ wing, like 6'5", very athletic, defensively pretty complete for like a 6'5" wing. I think incredibly quick laterally, the lateral burst, the reaction speed on the perimeter, all of that is awesome. Mirroring, cutting off drives. And then, you know, the team defense instincts are great as well. Makes sound rotations. I don't think he's like an incredible playmaker, but makes a lot of the little rotations consistently. And then, you know, has strength to guard up as well. There are times that, you know, at the level that he plays at where he'll like pretty comfortably bang with bigger players. So I think there's definitely some defensive versatility. And then offensively, like a really, really good shooter on spot ups and some off movement. Doesn't really do much off the dribble, but spot off dribble, like relocating. Again, couldn't find the shooting numbers for him that I have somewhere on my computer, but they are really quite good. And I think the free throw is pretty, pretty good for him as well. And then, like, he's kind of just like a little things off-ball guy, which I love a lot of what he does. Not really a creator. Like, the handle is okay. And then, like, he doesn't really get to the rim and finish. But, like, he's a super smart cutter. Like really active offensive rebounder, relocator, kind of pretty explosive attacking off the catch. It was like a three, like in that like morass of like the late first, like mid late first in 2021 right now. He's one of the guys who I feel pretty good at, pretty good about as like a 3D+ wing. Again, I like him more than Gaudet because I just the role translation for me is a lot easier. So yeah, I mean, I like Mojave King a ton. I don't know if you have anything else to say about him, but
I have not seen him. He's one of the guys that I very much need to see.
Yeah.
And there are so many guys that I need to revisit or
that team is so much fun to watch too. Like the Global Academy team.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. It should be fun.
And then I'll quickly go over a couple guys on that team. First one is, I think it's Ali Khalifa. I don't know if I said his first name right. He's playing next year at Charlotte. So very fringy. He's like a 6'10 big man with legit perimeter skill. Like he's a legit DHO operator. Like will like make passes to Cutter. Had a play in the game I saw yesterday where he like did a DHO keeper and split two defenders and finished a floater. Will hit pick and pop threes. Isn't like good on the interior on either end and is kind of bad on defense, but certainly somebody who like is kind of interesting and very fun to watch. Like I said, playing at Charlotte, so kind of nothing. But he's certainly good and he's fun, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him kind of pop up on radars early in his career, maybe later. And then the maybe bigger fringy guy on that team whose name I'm almost certainly going to butcher. I believe it's Benedict Mathurin or Mathurin. I do not know how you say his name. I should have looked it up before this. I wasn't expecting to talk about these guys today, but yeah, definitely butchered that. He's going a four-star recruit going to Arizona in their big group of international prospects, kind of like a raw athlete type with he's like a really powerful and explosive athlete. Like the strength and the burst and the explosion is really obvious on drives where he just is like totally will overwhelm defenders. Shows like a little bit of passing, but you know, not really there at any sort of consistent basis. And then defensively has some super overwhelming moments on the ball where like the lateral mobility and his ability to just vaporize screens and get around them and stick in front of guys on and off the ball. It's really good. So yeah, he's an interesting long-term prospect who I'm going to track. I mean, Arizona is kind of loaded on those good to solid international guys. So they should be pretty fun, and I think he's going to be pretty fun with them. Yeah, that's all I've got to talk about for the Global Academy guys.
I've got nothing else. So I guess we'll just do one final plug for this episode of the live broadcast that we're going to be doing during the draft. Haven't finalized the plans yet, but we'll probably start maybe half an hour before the draft, try to take some questions, talk about some, I mean, maybe there'll be, you know, trades to discuss or rumors to discuss, but, you know, we'll be there a little bit before. We'll go for the entire draft, both rounds. Who knows?
Long, fun night.
Yeah, who knows if we'll do some recap after the fact or if we will have both expired by then. But but stop by. It'll be a time. Tell your friends. We want to try to, you know, make it at least somewhat of a big event. If you can't make it, again, we'll post it after the fact as a podcast. It will be in your feeds. And if you do show up, you should probably go download that and listen to it also, because that's good for our download numbers. As always, if you're new to the pod, hop on Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star review. It's very helpful. We appreciate it. You know, we always are you know, it's something that actually matters, having those reviews in there. It's not just for our egos. So please do that. Yeah, other than that, I think we're good.
Yeah, I mean, like Max said, like if you're new around here, which I think we have quite a few new listeners, you know, as expected with the draft moving in, we have. Going back to March, we have, I think, relevant content on a lot of these, you know, almost all of the prospects in this draft going back. I think a lot of our episodes are pretty timeless, so.
Yeah, the back catalog, if you're looking for discussion of any prospect, you will find several hours on probably, like, all of them. The back catalog is extensive, and for this draft cycle, like, pretty evergreen, I would say. Like, our opinions, of course, have changed over the last 7 months in some regards. But yeah, you can go back and listen if you're starved for content, because we've done many hours and episodes on these 2020 guys, because this has been the longest draft cycle in the history of the sport.
Yeah. I mean the podcast, I mean the support, the downloads recently have just been incredible. Like the support has been so overwhelming. And again, thank you to all of the listeners who make the work that Max and I put into the show every week worth it. We are so glad that we are reaching the people we're reaching, and we're going to continue to pump out content through the draft, after the draft, through the college basketball season, and you know, for as long as we, you know, until we collapse of draft exhaustion. So with that, I think we'll outro this part too. Again, thank you all for listening. You can follow the pod at Prep to Pro Pod on Twitter, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. Leave those 5-star reviews. Really do help. Follow Max at Max A. Carlin on Twitter. You can follow me at Ben_Pfeiffer_. And with that, we will see you all next week.